Circumstances that appear unusual to us may in fact be part of a larger plan. Such circumstances, quite possibly, are evidenced in this story, The Lady in the Closet.
She sat silently on the cold metal folding chair as she surveyed her dimly lit surroundings. Her only companions in the 8x8 room were brooms, mops, paper towels, cleaning supplies, and a Sunday school manual that rested on her lap beneath clasped hands. There she was, seated in the janitor's closet in the Port Sheldon Township Hall. The newly formed Holland branch of the Grand Rapids Michigan Stake was renting the township hall in which the members held Sunday meetings. It was not the ideal facility. However, the members were grateful to have a building in which to meet. Although she was alone at the moment, she knew that shortly two enthusiastic 13-year-olds would clamber into the cramped room to occupy the only other chairs in the confined space. The teenagers were twin sisters, and they were her only students. Her eyes examined for the 100th time this janitor's closet, which served as a makeshift Sunday school room. It was hot in the summer, and during the cold winter months, she and the girls wore coats and gloves as they discussed the lesson for the day. Yet, in spite of its shortcomings, it was the Cadillac of rooms available in the township hall. The only other rooms to which the branch had access were the kitchen and the gymnasium. The other Sunday school classes met in the large gymnasium, one class to each corner. She smiled at the irony of the situation. She was a lifelong Baptist. In fact, she was the clerk at the Baptist church she currently attended. However, now she found herself teaching Sunday school in a Mormon church. Her husband had joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints a few years ago, and she faithfully supported him in his decision. The small branch was struggling. Teachers were needed, and the branch president issued a call to her to teach the twins. Regardless of the evident paradox, she knew in her heart that her Heavenly Father had brought her to this time and this place. Glenn Goodwin, who served as the president of the stake, had been approached with a question regarding the propriety of this unorthodox situation. The concern for the matter was voiced in a question. President Goodwin, do you know that the Holland branch has a Baptist teaching Mormon doctrine to two investigators who are members of the Reformed Church? President Goodwin smiled in his patient and understanding way and responded simply, yes, and I understand she is doing a very good job. His response brought the matter to a close. She would continue to teach. Within a year, the twins would receive testimonies of the restored gospel and be baptized. Once the twins graduated to another class, her service continued as she selflessly helped in many areas of the small branch, always giving her best to do whatever she was asked to do. And her own testimony would grow, much the same as the analogy of the seed which Elma so eloquently described in his great dissertation to the Zoramites. She would also be baptized, receive her patriarchal blessing, and be sealed to her husband in the Washington, D.C. temple. The unusual circumstances surrounding these three sisters stands as strong affirmation that our Heavenly Father works in mysterious ways his wonders to accomplish.